Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you dilly mob. Welcome back to your yarn encircled the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say, you mob, yarn up strong. All right. Now, Cairns City Council has endorsed a request by traditional owners to rename Blackfellas Creek Park to Alan and Mary Oliver Park, Bunagandaja Park, and the traditional owners have advised the name is no longer considered culturally appropriate. Alan and May Oliver were traditional owners who had strong cultural links to the area and were also very prominent in the local sporting rugby community over a number of decades. The name Bunagandaja refers to the cassowary, an important cultural totem. Council will now undertake a consultation as required by the naming of the parks and reserves general policy for the remaining of Blackfellas Creek Park. A big shout out to the Oliver family. And to discuss this, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Rob Pine, Cairns Regional Councillor, as a member of the Socialist Alliance on the line. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Trevor. Good.
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, that's so fitting and fantastic for the Oliver family, but also for the renaming of Blackfellow Creek Park. Yes.
Yeah. Look, I think it's really good, and you know the Oliver family, great rugby league mad family,
yes.
And very well known, talented, well liked family in the area. So, you know, if we're going to name a park, I think we need to do it in consultations with the. With the traditional owners, hence Bunagandaja, which was the name they wanted to use. And also a local Indigenous family like the Olivers were great to acknowledge them. So I think that's the way we should do things at the community level.
Yeah, beautiful. Tell us the process. Did the Oliver family contact Cairns City Council, or how did it all start? The name Blackfellow Creek has been around for a while, and in a way, derogatory in the largest sense.
Well, that's actually the way it happened, because the creek behind there has been called Blackfellow Creek. When they built the new estate, they created a park that was a park that bordered on the creek. Mm. So showing a particular lack of imagination, they called it Blackfellow Creek Park. Well, I thought as a local community, we could do better than that.
Yes.
So it's got to go out to public consultation with people in the area, but the feedback has been very good. So. Yeah, it'll be renamed Alan and May Oliver Park, and that'll a lot of people remember the Olivers or
yes.
You know, known their children and the contribution they made to the community. So I think it's a really good recognition and gives people more of a sense of place in Edmonton when you have
exactly.
Local parks named after local families.
Exactly, fantastic. And look, we're moving towards that political correctness,
yeah,
and that's what it's all about, isn't it? You there, Rob Pine? Oh, I lost Rob Pine. We'll try and get Rob Pine back. He's the Cairns Regional Councillor as a member of the Socialist Alliance, and just his feedback on regarding Blackfellas Creek Park, renamed Alan and Mary Oliver and Bunagandaja Park. So big shout out to the Oliver family. Very fitting, and they've done a lot for the community, especially Uncle Alan, who's with us in spirit, and with the Southern Suburbs for Football Park, the White Cockatoos out there at Gordon. And also had fill into the Ivanhoe's Football Club as well. We'll try and get Rob back there. Rob, you there?
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah, virus on the phone, but it's all good. Made a call, all good. Political correctness is what it's all about, you know. I mean, like, about changing names and to make it more respectable in all facets. We're talking parks, we're talking rivers, lands, all the above, yep.
Yeah, and just getting back to the creek, to Blackfellow Creek there. So councils also approve that in principle, but it goes to the Department of Natural, because, see, councils own parks. We can make our own decisions about parks. But when it comes to creeks, it's got to be completed by the Department of Natural Resources, Mines and Energy, which is the local state government department.
Yep.
But I've found the people at that department quite reasonable to talk to, and I think there are a lot of people in the state bureaucracy are very happy to look at this. So I'd encourage listeners, wherever they are, if they've got names or traditional owner groups got names that have been imposed on them that they don't particularly like,
yep,
to if they can get their local council to write to the state government, I don't think it's as hard to get these things changed as people might think, you know. So it's worth having a go for sure.
For sure, yeah, fantastic. And look, thank you very much for the topic there, yarning up strong. Now, also the other thing, while I got you, is the Collingwood Football Club guilty of fostering systemic racism, and they're calling for Eddie Maguire to resign straight away. He said he's going to resign at the end of the year. But what's your take on this situation?
I think you know, you hear the term white privilege used. White privilege is used pretty well with Eddie Maguire. You know, look. He's a very competent man, very capable man, but he doesn't know what it's like to be the victim of racism. I don't think he knows how to be inclusive and deal with a diverse range of people in the sensitive way that leaders need to be able to do. So, you know, I don't want to besmirch the things he's done in the past. You know, good on him, but I think it's time to step aside.
Yeah, well, when you look at coming from the top down, you know, him being the president, the board of directors, and the fact that the Collingwood is guilty of fostering systemic racism, it comes from the top down. So I probably need a clean swipe and start all over again. It's sad that a club at this level holds systemic racism within the club.
Yeah, and I think the pressure from that's probably building up on a lot of people within the organisation. And when the leader leaves, it's like a release valve, and someone new can come in that's more healing and more consultative in working with everyone. You know, I think that'd be best for his football club, probably.
Well, of course, and then we look at such, like I said, a national team playing in a national competition. And the amount of black fellas that did play with that club, you know, is disrespect to them as well, you know. And we are here to stamp out racism. This is the 21st century.
But isn't that the irony, looking back at all the people, I think especially people from the Northern Territory, but from, you know, South Australia, WA, all the talented Indigenous people that have played that game.
Yes.
You know, really, they should be one of the least racist bodies in the world, you
well,
think.
Exactly.
But, so it's quite stark when you see that happening.
Yeah, food for thought. Thank you very much. All the best to you, Rob. Take care, and we'll yarn soon, my friend.
Thanks, mate. Have a great day, everyone.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Rob Pine there, Cairns Regional Councillor, as a member of the Socialist Alliance. And we're talking about the changing of the name, Blackfellas Creek Park here in Cairns, renamed Alan and Mary Oliver, Bunnagandaja Park, and look fantastic. And also had a touch on the conversation there regarding Collingwood. The Collingwood Football Club is guilty of fostering systemic racism and has resulted in the profound enduring harm to First Nations and African players as well. So there it is. Have your say in Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416, or you can call us on the Royal Telephone. That's with Jimmy Little. Here it is. Have a listen.
Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Made by God the Father for his very own. You may talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. Central's never busy, always on the line. You can hear from heaven almost any time. 'Tis a royal service built for one and all. When you get in trouble, give this royal line a call. Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Made by God the Father for his very own. You may talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. There will be no charges, telephone is free. It is built for service, just for you and me.
There will be no waiting on this royal line. Telephone to glory always answers just in time. Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Made by God the Father for his very own. You may talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. Jesus on this royal telephone.
Hey, what you doing, your mom? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bummer Bipper Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Aboriginal Medical Services backs COVID-19 vaccine ads in Indigenous languages to counter misinformation. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Robbie Chibawa, and he's the PAMS Chief Executive, and PAMS acronym for the Panakuna Aboriginal Medical Service. On the line, Robbie, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. As we always ask, Mob, who you Mob, where you from? Tell us where Robbie's from and how long you've been in your position there, brother.
Yeah, so look, I've been in this position for the last 6 years now. Initially, obviously, as a clinician and then clinical manager and then CEO now.
Okay.
And originally, I'm from Africa, Zambia in particular. That's Southern Africa.
Okay, fantastic. Well, good to have a black man at the table, so to speak, looking after our Mob. Enjoying the work there, working with First Nation people of Australia?
Oh, it's fantastic, man. There's
good.
Nothing else I hope to do, so this is what I want to do.
Exactly, and you're doing just that. Look, a very important conversation. COVID-19's really turned our world upside down. The government's talking about a rollout regarding vaccine. And look, there's a push for Aboriginal Medical Service asking for the ads in Indigenous languages to counter misinformation. So they're making sure our Mob receive the information in this pandemic, yes?
Yes, so basically the idea is that, look, there's a lot of myths and misinformation from on the internet, on social media, around the vaccines, and, you know, we just want to ensure that we work with the government to sort of do what we can do to ensure that our people receive the right information.
Yes.
And hopefully we can vaccinate as many as possible to protect them.
Well, exactly. When you look at Aboriginal communities, especially remote, English is sometimes a second, third, even fourth language, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And so that's where basically, if we, you know, what we did when we had the initial outbreak of COVID, you know, we worked together with other stakeholders, the state government, the Commonwealth, to actually, you know, record videos where elders were able to actually give advice to the local community in languages.
Yes.
That way it really helped, you know, to try and, you know, send the message out there.
So it's also important to have First Nation people delivering the message as well. I mean, you cannot beat black on black. And so if you've got Mob delivering the message in language to their Mob, that's the number one transformation. Is that right?
Very, very, very important. And actually, that alone ensures that, you know, there is actual transparency in the process and they trust what they are receiving.
Yes.
So that's really important.
All right, fantastic. So where are we at in regards to the information? I mean, like, have the COVID-19, the specialists, the government regarding the rollout, are they aware that Aboriginal Medical Service are pushing for language, Indigenous language, to counter the misinformation?
Yes, they are, and which is really fantastic. And
good.
They're working with us. And in Western Australia, we're working with AQUA, and the other government, you know, agencies to ensure that we can put together some messages in
yes.
language where elders can actually communicate to their people. So there's quite some good cooperation and some good working together, and you know, everyone basically ensuring that that happens.
And using all the tools available in regard to social media, as well as newspaper, radio, the internet, all the above, yeah?
Yeah, and so mainly in remote areas, as you know, access to some of those is a bit tricky. So mostly True. The local Aboriginal Medical Service is the first sort of channel we can use.
First port of call, yeah.
As well as social media as well, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, look, it's great to be talking with you, and it's great to see that we're pushing for Indigenous languages to counter the misinformation, and very important. Our people are vulnerable in regard to the pandemic when we're talking, especially our elders, and but remotely, I think we've done well across the board regarding Aboriginal communities and the safety from the pandemic, yes?
We have really done well, you know, especially in Western Australia. So, look, I think we are an example to the rest of the world on how to
yes.
protect the vulnerable. Not only the vulnerable, if you look at Australia, really, it's an envy of the world when it comes to, you know, COVID-19 pandemic prevention.
Yes. Fantastic. True words, Robbie. Thank you very much for sharing, my brother. All the best to you and your team. Your family, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, my friend.
Cheers, bro. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A very important conversation there. That's with Robbie Chibawi, and he's the Chief Executive for PAMS, the Punakuna Aboriginal Medical Service. That's the acronym PAMS. And Aboriginal Medical Services backs COVID-19 vaccine ads in Indigenous languages to counter misinformation, because our people need to be communicated on in regard to the vaccine and the rollout of the vaccine for this pandemic, this virus. But the communication has got to be very important, and the Indigenous languages must be at the table front and centre. As we mentioned, the some of our mob there in communities, English is a second, third language, so it's very important we have the right information and deliver it so the understanding, the education is there. All right, have you say your mob, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly.
There's a cold rain on the autumn wind, a brother murdered in Sydney town. Mark, my brother, had a supposed eagle covering his home, gunned him down. He say, oh, 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 gunned him down. Sad rivers of tears, 200 years in the river of fear, gunned him down. They took him out at point blank range, and he's home with his small young son. Shot him dead in his marble bed with a pump action 12-gauge shotgun. Fatherless child, grieving wife, a black fugitive on the run. On the run, 2 centuries from oppression's loaded guns. We say, oh, 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 oh. Gunned him down. Sad rivers of tears, 200 years in the river of fear. Gunned him down. Under the protection of their law, terrorized blacks and dawns of fear, they come smashing through your door. You're not safe outside on Freedom Street, you're not safe inside the camp. With their shotguns and their stun gas, the license to drop you where you stand. We say, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Sad rivers of tears, 200 years in the river. Gunned him down.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
We want to pay tribute to all the women across this land. We want to say thank you. It's because of you we can. You raised us from babies to the people we are today. The women before us, they have paved the way. Because of her.
This is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israel Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now we're going to talk about the COVID-19 vaccine rollout and talk about that with Dr. Margaret Heffernan, OAM, and also, I believe, a sister bestowed by the Wairarapu peoples and have a skin name. Margaret, good morning. How are you, Doctor?
Good morning, Trevor. Please call me Margaret. And I'm sitting here all the way in Melbourne wishing I was up in sunny Cairns with you.
Thank you, Margaret. Listen, so just before we start, you got a skin name there. Tell us your connection there to the mob there, please.
Yeah, so I was privileged to be given the skin name Nangali by the Warramunga clan out east of Tennant Creek. And that came about from some work I'd done with the First Nations in Central Australia when we were rolling out the HPV vaccine.
Yes.
And I got to know, you know, quite a few of the community in Alice Springs. And then I got an invitation. The Warramunga clan were wanting to develop some business strategies, and I was one of a group that they brought into work with them, and very privileged to go out on their lands and spend time out there, and they taught me a lot. And then I was bestowed with the skin name Nangali, which is an absolute honour.
And I was going to say that Nangali, having a skin name, is up there with having an OIM bestowed on you.
and of course, you know, I'm very mindful always that I don't work alone in, you know, people go, oh, you've done this and you've achieved that and whatever, but there's just been a really big mob behind me.
Sure.
And I'd particularly like to give a big shout-out to Julie Wright and Sandy McGallagher, particularly in Alice Springs, because they took me under their wing.
Yes.
And, you know, they really looked after me. They really increased my cultural knowledge and everything, and I'm very, very grateful. And also to Gina Smith up in the Warramunga clan, absolute legend. Gina's done a lot for her community up there.
And the phrase I'm thinking of, if you ever see a turtle on a pole, you always remember never got there by itself.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it takes a village, doesn't it? A whole clan. So, yeah, it's been just the most privileged association.
Good. Fantastic. Now, regarding the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, it's a bit daunting for a lot of our people, especially in community, you know. Is it, you know, we're talking about vaccine, we're talking about needles, we're talking about, well, does it work and is it safe and all the above. So tell us your thoughts on regarding the COVID-19 vaccine rollout.
Yeah, look, I really respect the community concerns because this is a very new vaccine. I think we're in a very good position in Australia that we're in summer and we've pretty well got our COVID virus under control at the moment, but we need this vaccine so we can really get back on with our lives. And I think it's really great that England and America, for example, are rolling out these vaccines before us because we can get more and more safety data from their experiences. And, you know, there's been a bit in the media lately by some individuals about, oh, the government should hurry up and, you know, roll it out and give it to all of us. But I'd just like to say to all your listeners that we're so lucky in Australia that a therapeutic goods association does not introduce any vaccine into community until they know it's going to be effective and it's safe. And that's why they're taking a very cautious approach, because every day we're getting more and more data about, you know, what's happening up in the Northern Hemisphere. And I think if we're just patient,
exactly.
But when the government says, okay, vaccine's available, it'll be such a bonus, but we can have confidence that it's going to be okay.
Well, we don't want to get it wrong in regards to, well, the cost, the process, delivering, and also the anxiety it puts on people. So we need to do it right from the get-go.
Yeah, we do. And look, I'd just like to say that First Nations really are the world leaders with the HPV vaccine uptake.
Yes.
Northern Territory and Queensland, I'm not sure about Western Australia, very high uptake as they have here in Victoria, and that's because they took all the information about, so I'm drawing from the HPV vaccine experience.
Yes, example, yep.
Got all the information from the scientists, the health authorities, whatever, about the vaccine. Then they looked at, okay, how can we now educate all our health workers, our immunisation teams, whatever, how can we now educate community? And they went and developed culturally appropriate resources that the mob, you know, helped design and develop. They trained up all their Aboriginal health workers and the aunties and elders to help educate the communities.
So they went through the right channels, didn't they, Margaret?
And because of that community-led approach, that they were telling us to do, which is how it should be.
From the inside out.
It's been one of the most successful examples in the world of the highest uptake.
Yes.
Particularly in the Northern Territory. And, you know, you think of all the challenges you've got. The immunisation nurses have got really long distances to travel. You've got challenges with your refrigeration and electricity and everything like that. But the immunisation teams have, you know, they know about those challenges. They know how to deal with them. So I reckon as soon as the government says, yep, let's roll this out.
They should use the same process then as the HPV.
Use the same process.
Yes.
The communities will educate everybody about it. The government's got confident that, you know, it's safe and it's going to help protect us from getting the really, really bad effects of the virus. I mean, no vaccine protects 100%.
Sure.
But, you know, it'll be like another version of the flu vaccine.
Yeah, okay. So light at the end of the tunnel, if done right, and use the process, is what you're saying.
Sorry, Trevor, it's breaking up there a bit.
So I was just saying, in regard to the success of the HPV rollout, that was very good. So a same sort of process can be used for COVID-19. I mean, take on the same sort of, ingredient, you could say, yep.
Yeah, look, I think the process has shown that it works. And as I said, you know, you can be very proud of your community response to that. But that shows that the community, you know, prioritise their health. Mm. They want to stay healthy. They want their kids to be healthy. But do you know what? That planning and development of all the resources and that, that took over 12 months. You know, it takes a while.
Sure.
So I'm hoping that the government, you know, gives a reasonable amount of time for all the communities to be able to, you know, start educating their communities and talking about the vaccine and that. But
it's
sure
a patience thing, isn't it, as well? And it's a massage in the conversation and talking to our people at their level and working from the inside out, yes?
That's right. You know, the communities, they know how they want, because in Central Australia, as you know, oral-based culture, so a whole heap of brochures, and that just doesn't work. You've got to sit around and have a good yarn about it and tell the stories and how it's going to help. But I think the main thing is to build the confidence in everybody to trust the safety of it, because the government aren't going to give us anything that's going to be make us, you know, really, really ill or kill us.
Exactly. True, true. Look, a very important conversation, Margaret. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your team, your family. Stay safe and come and join us here in Cairns, far north Queensland, my sister.
Oh, Trevor, I'll be up there in a heartbeat as soon as I have the vaccine and I can jump on a plane.
The kettle's on.
Good luck to all the listeners and keep well.
Thanks, Margaret. Bye-bye, dear.
Thanks, Trevor.
A deadly yarn there with Dr. Margaret Heffernan, skin name, Nagali, and look, talking about the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. And she did head up the rollout for the HPV to our First Nation mob there in communities, and was a very huge success. And she just feels that the government needs to operate along those lines in regard in working from the inside out with our mob. So true. In everything that the government does, everything that we do, you've got to come from us mob first, from the inside out. Too deadly. Have you say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are. Our fathers were warriors, their fathers before them. But though we're now civilized, our hearts are not far from them. Cause we're one generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Yes, that's what we are. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior.
generation from a warrior. That's what we are.
Generation from
ooh,
a
yeah,
warrior.
Yes, that's what we are. Now that we know where our people come from, we found our identity. Our spirit lives on and on.
And
should be got a rubber dub style. And worry about people no while. Listen to the beat, to the rhyme, to the rhythm. We gon' make you jump, cock car, now you get them. To kick a ragga in a natty vibration. We are the children of the next generation. Coming to you with a positive style. All simply, I'm the warrior, but me plan no while.
One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Ooh, yes. That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Ooh, yeah, yes. That's what we are. Our fathers were warriors. Their fathers before them. But though we're not civilized, our hearts are not far from them.
Cause we're one generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Ooh, yes, that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
Say you know me, that is the loving and an emerald is the norm. Because you can't resist, because you know you're loving. And I really cover this all day, they call me big up. And no, because you know it's even from the back. Insisting in the island styles. Only while all them up on Wallace and our people fun. You love when you just need that them is going to keep on.
Yeah, one generation from a warrior, Drew's Namok with us in spirit, my brother. Deadly track there. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BB and Bumbibrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Your host, the Bally One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, steering your ship into the future. And we've got about 15 minutes left on the program, so give us a call. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Let's go to JW with Much Love, Justin Wellington. Big shout out, brother.
Come on, man.
Say it again.
If you ever need me,
all right,
I'll be there to help you.
JW Justin Wellington, big shout out, my brother. Much love, and much love going out to Yarrabah community. Thinking of you guys, prayers are with you in regards to our fishermen lost out at sea. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. A big shout out also to our First Nation radio station across the country, Daily Black Network, giving out all our yarns, all our music, and all our conversations. A lot of our yarns are not on mainstream radio, so it's good to have that deadly voice out there for our mob. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black. We have 12 minutes left on the program. Let's go to sister Christine Anu. Big shout out, sis. My island home. Do enjoy.
we're members of a human family. There's a river of love deep in the heart of me, and it's flowing straight down to the ocean of humanity. Whoa, 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 yeah. Whoa, 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 yeah. Whoa, 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 yeah. Whoa, whoa, yeah.
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Strap on. Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. Now, political news here with the Sydney Morning Herald. We do not need to wait for Christchurch. Grampian Cross burning spurs call for action. Authorities are being urged to add a right-wing extremist group to the terror list after its members burnt a cross at the foot of the Grampians on the Australian Day weekend. And there's a shot here of black hooded men, of course, all non-Indigenous with black hoods and no shirts, and got the Ku Klux emblem there with the burning cross as well. And the state and federal authorities are being urged to take further action against a right-wing extremist group that burnt a cross and chanted racist slogans at a popular Victorian tourist destination over the Australian Day weekend. 38 members of the far-right National Socialist Network burnt a cross near next to Lake Belford, Belfield, at the foot of the Grampians, a ritual usually associated with the Ku Klux Klan. In central Victoria on Sunday evening, tourists and locals heard the group chanting white power and Nazi slogans. And on Thursday morning thereafter, The Age and Sydney Morning Herald revealed local police and intelligence office from Victoria's Counter-Terrorism Command were collecting information about the group, which hiked through the Grampians National Park on the weekend. The group members also visited the tourist town at the foot of the Grampians Halls Gap, where they engaged in anti-Semitic and other racist behaviour. At least half a dozen tourists and residents said that they had reported the men to police. Six uniformed officers from the nearby town at Stilwell spoke to the group, including its leader, ex-Australian Army soldier turned neo-Nazi Tom Sewell. Mr. Sewell later posted online pictures of the police officers and named badges, as well as images of the neo-Nazi group posing in front of a burning cross and displaying Nazi salutes at various locations in the Grampians. Dr. Devere Amberidge, chairman of the Anti-Defamation Commission, a civil rights organisation, said the group's weekend activity should prompt state and federal government agencies to push for extreme right-wing groups to be prescribed as terrorist entities. So there it is. We don't need that when you listen to the so-called call-out with Collingwood Football Club, and then you have extremists like that happening in this country. 21st century, it makes you think, in what world are we living in? You mob look, have your say, yarn up strong, but you may have to do that tomorrow. Trendy Trev got to sign off here with your daily program, National Talk Black. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. We've got the news coming your way via NIRS, National Indigenous Radio Service. But I thank you for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic and operate by the rules that are in place. Best medicine we got, you mob.
Give me the open road that leads to the west. I guess I'll be saying goodbye. A station girl, yes, one of the best with the western gleam in her eyes. Give me the wattling bloom and plenty of room and a million stars in the sky. give me a guitar and the western moon with its beams, so I can sing along to a million stars with the sweetest girl of my dreams. Give me a road that fills with flowers and birds while the mountain kisses the skies. Give me a winding stream and I'll yodel a yodel-a-dee-dee-dee-dee. Again, I'll shine standing near a Bronco panel side.